I just told you to quit doing that.
I didn't scratch it that time. I just rubbed
just
it.
Don't, no touching the table.
Dude, you can't stop me.
Okay. Hey guys, welcome back to episode 5 of The Amateur Analyst. Today I'm joined here with Gavin Norris.
What's up?
So, Gavin, before we begin, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm Gavin Norris. I graduated in 2019 from Winfield City High School. I'm now a student at Belleville State Community College, and I'm here to learn today.
All right, Gavin, I want to begin this episode with a nice little joke. What has a nose and flies but can't smell?
Fly.
And flies can smell. And it's an airplane. The answer is an airplane.
Oh.
So if you can't take a hint, today's episode is about an airplane. So, Gavin, have you ever been on a plane?
Yeah.
How long was it?
8 hours.
Was you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Well, no matter how uncomfortable you are, you're not going to be as uncomfortable as the 57 passengers on Pan American Flight 914 who took 37 years to land.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't.
Now, I should probably mention that this is technically an urban legend, but even myself researching this, I can see where some information has been like expunged or covered up.
Government don't want us to know.
Yeah, so I feel like there's a sliver of truth in this story. I mean, I only found one newspaper article about this. All right, so let's just get right into it. On July 2nd, 1955, Pan American Flight 914 embarked on its course from New York to Miami, Florida, in a DC-4 McDonnell Douglas aircraft. Do you know what that aircraft is?
Not really.
Me neither.
I don't know much about planes.
I don't either.
I'm a big plane guy.
There were 57 passengers on board alongside with 4 crew members. They were probably all excited to get to Miami and have a nice little vacation. The plane had no trouble taking off, but after 3 hours, it had not reached its destination and was nowhere to be seen. So the air traffic control tower in Miami contacted New York and was told, quote, flight 914 just disappeared from the radars in midair, end quote.
Well.
I feel like that's something you need to like.
That's a little suspect. Somebody should look into that.
I feel like you need to announce that like sooner than when you're asked about it. Be like,
well, it's gone.
It's gone. I just figured, I mean, hey.
Well, forget about them.
Air traffic control sent many messages to the pilot, but it seems like they never received them or just ignored them because there was never a response.
So it probably just. Did it receive though?
They don't know. It was 1955. They didn't have the technology back then to know if they received, but they know they never got a response.
It was 1955.
Yeah, when this happened.
So what type of plane what would it look like? Like a passenger plane?
Yeah, it wasn't huge. It had propellers instead of jet engines still.
Oh wow.
So yeah, I mean it was a dated plane. An investigation was conducted, and like any sane person, it was at first thought it just crashed. It did fly over a portion of the Atlantic Ocean, and the part on the land that flew over, there was no crash sites found, so they just assumed it was in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
They never recovered a piece of that plane or bodies or anything, so there's no evidence it even crashed. There was Coast Guards, rescue teams, and military all looking for the plane, but never found it.
So, like, normally when there's, like, an airplane crash in, like, the ocean, do they ever, like, you know, get pieces back of the plane? Or is that like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, because they have like black boxes and stuff.
Did this plane have a black box?
Oh, funny you asked that, Gavin. Because black boxes were invented in 1953, 2 years before the plane launched. But it wasn't required in a plane until 1960. So I can assume that that plane wasn't harboring one.
It wasn't?
No. Because they were so new and they weren't required.
But it was like, it was a large amount of, it was 57 people.
Yeah.
Where did the plane leave from?
It went from New York to Miami.
And it just went. New York, you think they would have, you know, the most.
Yeah, I mean, when planes do crash in the ocean, they usually do find a piece. Like, you know Malaysia Flight 370?
Yeah.
They found pieces of that plane.
So they didn't find one piece from this
movie. They found no evidence that it even existed. But we know, okay.
So no evidence of crash.
Yeah, I did say no evidence of crash. I did say it's an urban legend, but this plane did exist and it did take off from New York. There's no record of it landing in Miami, though. So we know it took off, but that's it.
But if something that like drastic happened, they would not want people to know that.
Yeah, that's
right. Because people would panic and...
Well, I mean, there was a search effort for it. Like, there were searches for it. The plane was never found, but it was still officially announced a crash had killed everyone on board. An airline compensated the families of everyone involved in the, I guess, air quotes, crash with death benefits. So they all got paid. 37 years later, this airline's wanted their money back. So 37 years passed. There's not a single lead. Then on May 21st, 1992, my man Juan de la Corte got up like usual and went to his job as an air traffic controller in Caracas, Venezuela. So he was just an average dude sipping his coffee, watching the flights take off and land. And he was watching this one plane on the radar when all of a sudden a strong radar ping came off of something. And like when I think of radar, I think of like from the movies. It's not like that, apparently. So when you're exiting radar, it fades. Like it fades, and when you're entering radar, it fades in. So this one just appeared and it was strong. So he at first thought it was a glitch and he rechecked it over and over again until he was finally able to actually see the plane. If this would happen now, that plane would have been shot down immediately.
Terrorists.
Yeah. So they saw the plane, and when they saw it, they noticed it was very outdated. And like I said, it still used propellers instead of the modern day turbine engines.
Yeah.
Upon closer inspection, someone was able to identify it as a DC-4 McDonnell Douglas aircraft, the same one that went missing 30 years prior in a whole different country. Oh. Who knows? I don't know. He's just like, oh, yeah, that's a DC-4 McDonnell Douglas aircraft.
You're not going to read that and cool. Just go on with your day.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Good job. When Juan first laid eyes on the mysterious Pan Am Flight 914 plane, he specifically used the term rugged to describe the aircraft.
It's pretty old.
Yeah. Contact was finally made with the pilot of the plane, and the pilot asked in English where they were. Corte responded by saying, "You're closing in the Caracas airport."
So
this is in Venezuela, and they're trying to go to Miami. It's 1,100 miles away from Miami.
I seriously like doubted the plane at that time to fly that far. Yeah. Just a regular like commercial plane.
Oh, we know this plane's not regular. So after a long pause, the pilot responded, quotes, "We are Pan Am Flight 914 heading from New York to Miami, Florida, with a crew of 4, 57 passengers on board," end quote. After more questioning, the pilot said they were supposed to land in Miami airport at 9:55 a.m. on July 2nd, 1955.
So where did these reports come from?
This one's from the newspaper. A bunch of this information is. But like I said, there's so much. I feel like there's so much cover-ups. Like I said, I could barely find any information on this thing. There's actually a TV show about it now called Manifest. And there's a movie. I'm not sure what the movie is, but there's a movie about it. I know that. So they just keep questioning him. They're like, why? Like, you're not anywhere close to it. And then he finally says, we're supposed to land at 1955. Yeah, we're supposed to land in 1955. They're a little bit late, as we can see. I mean, what is it? Like 1990. It's 1992. They're a little late. So Corte heard this and was like, he didn't know about this flight. Like he just thought it was a lost plane. He heard that they were supposed to land 37 years prior to the date it was then. So he's thinking, the pilot's insane. We have to get the passengers on the ground for safety reasons before he like nosedives. Mm-hmm. So he hurried up and cleared landing. And after he cleared landing, he called the authorities, and authorities were already on their way. And then Corte felt like it was safe enough to ask the pilot what the date was, like if he knew what the date was. Corte said, quotes, "Do you know today is May 21st, 1992, end quote. The pilot of Flight 914 then said, "What are you talking about?" and then oh my god, and flew into a state of panic. The pilot slammed the airplane door shut just as authorities had reached the plane and warned them to stay back. Over the radio, Corte and his colleagues heard the pilot say, "No, stay away. We are leaving now," alongside panicked voices of many passengers.
So did they leave or were they stopped?
The plane engine started and stopped, and despite being asked to stop, it took down the runway. Like, just normally. Like, a plane was just starting going slowly, then yeah, faster, and it took down the runway and took off. The plane could be seen in the air for a long time until it was too far to see. Then it was tracked on radar until it just vanished from radar once again.
Oh my god.
Yeah. In light of this, the airport sent 3 jets out to try and track the Pan Am Flight 914. Nevertheless, they were unable to locate its whereabouts. So these 3 jets could not find it. Cortez was bewildered.
I mean, that would be my response if I was the pilot. I would get out of there. I would be scared to death.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, that if I was the pilot in this situation, I would think, I've been led into a trap. We're all about to get murdered.
Yes.
But after the plane took off, they found the only physical piece of evidence that this story gives us. A calendar had fell out of the pilot's pocket when he stepped out. When they recovered the calendar, the date on it was 1955. I'll post a picture of it on my Instagram at The Amateur Analyst. So there are some reports that I found so little information on this. I just added it on the end, but some say the plane actually landed in Miami later that day and was actually deboarded. So every passenger got off, but when they got off, they hadn't aged a day since that takeoff in 1955.
That's how Manifest Destiny is.
Yeah, but this is less reliable than the rest of the story because I found so less about this, but we do have to think that America is, they do cover up more.
They hid aliens for this long.
Yeah, I mean, they really did. They literally did. I mean,
the UFO videos were confirmed real from the Pentagon.
Yeah, America covers up more stuff than other countries, I feel. And I feel
it might be that way everywhere. One world order.
But what I think is that they could have gone to Miami and was deboarded, but they would never see their families because they would be studied and it would be too big of a reliability.
So, or just like witness protection programs.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they have to be
hidden. They can never tell. Like,
and where, yeah, it has to be covered up. But like I said, this part's kind of flimsy to me. This whole story's a little bit flimsy. It's like a Twizzler.
You have to think of the possibilities,
though. Yeah. But let's get into some theories. But all the theories are super flimsy, so this will take like 30 seconds tops. The first theory says that the Bermuda Triangle was to blame. The plane did fly over like a small section of the triangle, but I personally don't believe in this theory because per square mile of surface area, the Bermuda Triangle actually doesn't have more shipwrecks or plane wrecks than any other part of the ocean. But they do have like more out, like weird incidents. Like,
weird occurrences.
Yeah, weird occurrences, yeah. I do think supernatural things occur in this region, but I don't think it has anything to do with this story. But this theory practically says it went Bermuda Triangle, was teleported through time.
That's the only plausible thing.
That's
the only possible way.
So theory two is a little bit more scientific. It has to do with the plane somehow entering a wormhole and was warped through time and space. Okay, so we know that black holes occur in nature because, like, what was it, 2017 or 18, a photograph of one was released. So we know
in nature?
In nature, yeah. Like, what? When stars collapse in on themselves.
You're talking about, like, in space?
Yeah, in space.
Okay. I was thinking, like, in trees.
Well, scientists have actually created black holes in laboratories. They is using the world's most powerful X-ray laser.
I'd rather them not do that.
Well, the thing about it is it's so small, it literally evaporates on itself. Like, the black hole doesn't last, but like,
when below I think a black hole, I think of a small one getting bigger.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, but then I watched Vsauce and he explained how they made them. But yeah, so they created black holes. But what I find interesting about, and let me explain what a wormhole is. A wormhole is just two black holes that became entangled with each other. So,
what is a black hole?
A black hole? It's like, matter so condensed that gravity just grows and grows and grows exponentially.
Wow.
So yeah, like if you there's an equation you can do that tells you how much you have to compress something to turn it into a black hole. If you compressed all of Earth's mass into size of the head of a pin, it would turn into a black hole.
Well,
so let me explain how a wormhole works. I'm about to get some Stephen Hawking on y'all.
I totally understand everything you're saying.
Okay. Well, a wormhole bends space and time. So let's say you had a piece of paper.
Yes.
On the north end of the piece of paper, let's say is your house, and the south end is the gym or something. So to get from your house to the gym, you'd have to travel that full distance.
Straight line.
A straight line. So wormholes practically bend the piece of paper in half to where the house and the gym are actually touching each other. And so instead of traveling that full distance and that full time, you can enter a wormhole theoretically and be spat out in a different place in a different time without really traveling any distance.
That's how it was explained in that... you know, the book we read in eighth grade that turned into a movie. Space. It's something.
What?
You know.
Wrinkle in Time.
Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, I didn't read that book. So this may, the reason this is might be possible, you're like, where did a wormhole come from? They exist in space and scientists can make them. We don't know if wormholes are being created all around us at all times because there's no way to know where they're going to appear. If they do just spontaneously happen, and there's no way to know how long they will last, so there's no way to study it.
Perhaps in flight 914.
That's what some people think. I don't know how the whole plane would get in there, but anything's possible. There could have been a wormhole right there, got them, spit them out, but this is kind of unplausible to me because they disappeared again. So, like, the chances of that happening would be so small that they... one in a infinity chance they get in that wormhole, teleported 37 years later, and then take off and get teleported in another wormhole.
Yeah. I don't think that would happen.
So what do you think about that theory?
Maybe another theory. A time traveler.
No, that's actually one of them, yeah.
Was on the plane and knew when a black hole would open and he would go into it, and he knew it would spit him out in another time when another black hole would be there.
Yeah, like a really smart person, maybe. Probably not, though.
Yeah, probably not.
Theory three is someone had a time-traveling device. Mm-hmm. So let's say they time-traveled to a time and realized they were dead. So let's say, okay, theory three is someone had a time-traveling device on the plane and just teleported the whole airplane to troll us, I guess. But I mean, when I think about that, I think, let's say I'm a time traveler, I travel 2 years in the future and I'm dead, now I don't want to die, so I go back in present day, get on an airplane, make it disappear, come back 37 years later, I'm still alive.
In a better time.
Yeah,
well, I don't know, better time, but maybe easier life.
This is some timey-wimey type stuff. Another theory is it did just crash.
It's
underneath a bunch of sediment and never been found.
Fish ate the people.
Yeah, I mean, it could have landed in Miami and it was just covered up.
Yeah, the only reason I don't put this out is because I think the government hides so many things from us.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much...
Which is probably smart. If I was in charge of the government, I probably wouldn't people.
Well, yeah, because you don't want people to think about that your science that you've been teaching has abnormalities.
Our government doesn't want us to think about anything but surviving.
Yeah. Like,
just living, asking questions.
I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, I believe there is abnormalities in this world. Like... this, for example, I think that the laws of physics doesn't always apply, and you can try. I believe in multi dimensions, and every dimension could be like one dimension could be 37 years in the future, one could be 5 days in the past.
Yeah,
and I believe that maybe somehow this plane went into one of the other dimensions.
Confusing, but
it's very confusing, man.
I'm sure if somebody smart explained it to me.
All right, thanks, Gavin. No, this is way above my head. It's just this story is so intriguing to me.
I just accept a lot of the time that I don't know.
Okay, just you get on a plane. It's like, hello, this is your captain speaking. We'll be arriving in about 37 years. Some people and it,
say goodbye to your family. You just will never see them again.
Yeah, well, you'll see them again, but like your child will be older than you now.
They could all have been dead by now, possibly.
Yeah,
but we'll take a gamble.
So, Gavin, any closing remarks on this?
Well, I'm intrigued. I don't know if I believe it, but
so anything you, I think that something happened with this plane.
Something behind all myths and, you know, just stuff people don't, there's a little bit of truth.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of truth behind everything.
I think something abnormal happened to this plane and it was covered up. Exactly. Or it just nosedived in the Atlantic. One of the two options. The first one sounds cooler.
What do you think?
I hope it time traveled. Oh. How about we just take a poll on Instagram at the Amateur Analyst?
A nosedive or time travel?
Nosedive or time travel. If you don't watch this episode and you vote on this poll, you're going to be confused as crap. This, I would like to say this is my last episode that I'm doing in this dungeon. Bunker. Yeah, bunker. my friend Ren Garrison is allowing me to use his studio, so we're about to have some awesome sound quality and some...
Our faces are 6 inches apart.
Yeah, because... Oh, my God. Well, one of the microphones broke, so we're literally using one microphone right now. So anything else, Gavin, you want to add?
No.
All right, well, thanks for coming. Do you want to tell anybody to follow your Instagram? They probably won't, but...
That's okay.
Okay, good. It's weird anyway. All right, well, thank you for coming on.
No, thank you.
I loved it. You didn't contribute anything to this episode, but...
Oh, really?
All right, thanks, and come back next Monday for a new episode.